Welcome to the Sisters in Crime Writers Podcast. Everyone has a unique writing journey, so join us for conversations about those journeys from the writers themselves. This is Julie Henricus, the Executive Director of Sisters in Crime, and I am delighted to welcome Sarah M. Chen to the podcast today. Sarah is a children's author and award-winning short story writer based in Los Angeles. Her noir novella, Cleaning Up Finn, was an Anthony finalist and an Ippy Award winner. She's the co-editor for several anthologies, including Avenging Angelinos from Sisters in Crime, the Los Angeles chapter, and her writing has appeared in the Los Angeles Review of Books and Harper Magazine, of Happa Magazine, among others. Welcome to the podcast, Sarah.
Thank you, Julie. I'm excited to be here.
So is it Happa, H-A-P-E? Tell me about that magazine.
Happa Mag, yes, it's it features writers and artists who are half Asian or have part Asian descent. And actually, they've changed their name. I should probably change my bio. they are now called Mixed Asian Media.
Oh,
I wrote a piece about growing up half Chinese in Orange County. Which was a very white neighborhood and very conservative back in the 70s and 80s. So it was just sort of a piece about, you know, having a white mother and a Chinese father. And they published it in, I think it was 2019 when that came out, or God, I don't remember. It was pre-pandemic.
It's that area right before March.
Yes, it's like before pandemic and after pandemic.
Oh, that sounds great. I'm going to change the name in the show notes so that folks can follow that magazine and find it.
Yeah, I apologize. I should have updated that.
No worries. And I apologize for mangling it at first. My brain changes words to something that I'm thinking will make, you know, I don't know. I'm going to start this podcast with the way I always start this podcast, although I'm really looking forward to our conversation because children's books, novellas, short fiction, anthology editor, we have so much to talk about as far as writing goes. But when did you first say to yourself, I want to be a writer?
Well, I've always wanted to write since I was a kid. I'd say my first story was when I was 9 years old and it was called Mr. Peanut. I still have the short story, actually. My mom saved it all these years. And when I do author presentations at elementary schools, I bring that short story and I read it to show kids, you know, hey, you can write as a kid and have fun with it. I mean, it's terrible. It's a terrible story, but, I wanted to write since I can remember, but I just never actually pursued it seriously. Mm-hmm. I had parents who kind of, you know, wanted me to be a teacher, a professor, actually. Both my parents are, their background is, I mean, they worked in education, both of them. So that was kind of like my path, was to be a professor at a community college or any sort of university. So I tried working different, and I ended up actually working for Hollywood, for maybe over a decade doing, it was kind of I thought I was going to teach, and then I kind of veered off into Hollywood, and I worked all these various jobs at a literary agency, at an animation company. And then I worked for a long time as a studio script reader, and I wrote a screenplay, and I thought maybe I'll try, you know, breaking out in screenwriting, and that never panned out. And I didn't take writing fiction novels or short stories seriously until my divorce in 2006. So I feel like that's sort of kind of where I sort of like faced a crossroads in my life and thought, mm-hmm. I need to figure out what I'm doing. I felt kind of like I was flailing. I was just jumping around from job to job, different mm-hmm. industries, and never feeling satisfied, or I felt just kind of lost. So I thought it's either now or never to pursue writing. And I had only taken one writing course in my whole life. And it was at grad school. I took a creative writing course and I just loved it. He was very tough. He didn't give out any A's to anybody. But he had us all write short stories each week and we'd read it and critique each other. And wow. he was really tough, but he said, you have something, I could see this story being published. So that just gave me the confidence I needed. I thought so it was 2006 when I thought, okay, I'm going to buckle down and try to write seriously and see what happens.
So as you're in this moment of your life where you decide now's the time I need to do this, you've been working in Hollywood and script writing and everything else, but how did you sort of say, I want to build this craft? I want to figure out where my journey is as a writer.
I had no idea how to begin. Mm-hmm. I was lost. I didn't even know what I wanted to write. I had published one short story online and it wasn't mystery or crime fiction. I guess I was trying to be literary. Mm-hmm. I didn't know where to begin. And I went to the Los Angeles Times Festival of Books was coming up. And I thought, well, maybe if I go there, and I always enjoyed, I always loved reading. I was a huge reader. So I was like, I'm going to go to the LA Times Festival of Books. I'd never been, maybe something will spark something inside me there. So that's where I met Daryl James at the Sisters in Crime booth. And it just kind of all fell into place from there. It was just, I just kind of was wandering around and then I saw the booth and I thought, oh, mystery. And I had read a lot of mystery, especially at my, when I worked at a literary agency, my boss, he represented a lot of writers, like the film rights to a lot of mm-hmm. authors' books. Most notably, he represented Donald Westlake wow. and Ed McBain. And he had a huge office filled with books. So it was like a library. It was like working for a library. I would just go in and I'd, get a bunch of Donald Westlake books and Richard Stark books. And so I knew I liked crime fiction. So I went, but I knew nothing about writing it. And so I went into the booth and talked to Daryl and, he was really friendly and really encouraging. And I just told him, I want to write, I just don't know what. And he's invited me to a meeting and it took off from there. I went to a meeting the next month and everyone was so welcoming. And I just felt like, this is where I'm meant to be. And it just kind of all fell into place.
Well, that's a wonderful story about Sisters in Crime. And it's, I think one of the nice things about the organization is no matter where you are on your writing journey, you're welcome. I mean, you could just be sort of thinking aloud, I'd like to write crime fiction. And, you'll find your place. And obviously, as you progress in the career, you still find other places. You said that you were thinking, I want to write fiction and what am I? But you were drawn towards crime fiction. Was it always going to be crime fiction? Were you thinking about other genres as well?
Or? Yeah, I thought, could I write, literary or. I didn't take a lot of literature courses in school. So I never really thought of myself as very like a literary, even a literary reader. Mm-hmm. I read a lot of Dean Koontz when I was younger. I kind of gravitated toward crime fiction, I think, just without realizing it, I guess. And I'd also, I was also working with a insurance adjuster who was also a private investigator. And yeah, he gave me a lot of recommendations. He was a huge mystery buff, mystery reader. So he also opened up my eyes, this whole world of, that's where I started reading the Spencer, you know, Robert mm-hmm. B. Parker series, mm-hmm. Patricia Highsmith. I mean, I can't mm-hmm. believe I never read her before. I read Tony Hillerman. I mean, he introduced me to Michael Connelly. I mean, not literally, but reading, you know, the Bosch series. So I think I maybe subconsciously was thinking, okay, I love reading crime fiction. And I must have found somewhere along the way that you should write what you enjoy reading. Yeah. So that's kind of where I think that's why I went to the Sisters in Crime booth. Cause I thought, well, I like mysteries. So, but I just thought I could never write one, you know, I'm not that smart. but it, yeah, I thought, well, I could, you know, what's the harm in trying? And if I'm going to try, then Sisters in Crime is the perfect place to, you know, to immerse myself and to you know, take advantage of all the different resources they have and all the people who are also trying to write crime fiction.
Yeah. And talk to other folks as they're doing it. So I think we could probably spend this entire podcast, me asking you about your jobs, because they, so far I'm like literary office, script reader, working for PI. I mean, this sounds great, but we're going to keep talking about writing. So as you're building your craft, you're thinking about things. Talk to me about, you've written children's fiction, you know, short stories and that novellas. Talk to me about figuring out what, you know, what sorts of things you wanted to write and what that journey was like.
I thought I wanted to just write novels. Mm-hmm. I just assumed that's what I would do. And that's what you're supposed to do mm-hmm. as a fiction writer. I thought, okay, I'm going to write a book. I'd never written one before. I'd only written one screenplay and one short story. But then I thought that's what people do when they want to be a writer, they write books. I never thought there's different ways, right. you know, of getting published or, you know, different, everyone's journey is different, but I didn't know that. But then when I was at Sisters in Crime meetings, and then when I talked to Daryl James, I kind of saw him as sort of like my mentor. He had just published a short story collection, and he was kind of, I guess his path was short stories and then eventually, you know, getting his name out there and then work his way to novels and getting an agent that way. So I kind of followed his path thinking, well, mm-hmm. you know, here's sort of a map of what I can do too. And I thought back to that creative writing class and I thought, okay, I know I at least wrote a short story that this really tough teacher thought I could get published. So I thought, well, I'll try, you know, writing more short stories, more like crime fiction short stories. And so that's, and then I thought, okay, that's what I'll do. I'll just do what Daryl's doing and just try to get my name established with short stories. So that's what I did. And I thought naturally it'll evolve into, okay, then I'll write a book and then I'll try, you know, I'll get an mm-hmm. agent, but it's not that simple, which I learned, pretty quickly. But, I started to really love reading short stories as well. Cause I didn't read that many short stories before that. Mm-hmm. But it opened this whole new world of different short stories that I, you know, I love reading them. And so, yeah, it's funny how I never thought that that's how I would eventually, you know, work my way to writing a book, which I finally did. And now I'm looking for an agent, but I see it as like, I took baby steps. I wrote short stories for many years, and then I wrote a children's chapter book, which is a mm-hmm. little longer. And then I went up another step and wrote a novella. Mm-hmm. So it's like I'm taking these little tiny steps.
Well, they're not, none of these steps are easy. It's not, you know, short stories are an amazing art form that is not simple. It's, you know, to use a finite number of words and tell an entire story and not be able to dive into flashbacks or, you know, secondary characters and things like that. It's a real art form to learn that. And so you, as you're building up the skill to do that, how did you take more classes? Did you join a critique group? How did you build the short story skills?
Yeah, I shouldn't downplay short story writing by any means. I mean,
You're not.
But it's really tough.
It's really tough.
I think what I love about the short story too is when you write, it's kind of a more, I like the sense of validation that you're finished and you get it published. Like that comes so much quicker than a novel.
Yeah.
But back to your question, I did take whatever short story workshops or classes that were being offered. I think I know Sisters in Crime offered a couple workshops that I took. Can't remember exactly which. Yeah, I know I did take a few, and then I ended mm-hmm. up also joining a writer critique group. But my first short story actually ended up being published a year later in 2007.
Wow.
And so that was really exciting. I thought, okay, I can do this. Yeah. And it was exciting, and I'll never get to that point again. I mean, it came out in hardcover. I mean, this,
wow.
I got an advance. I mean, this is like unheard of, and it was incredible. We did a little book tour.
Wow.
Yeah. It was so exciting. And there was five of us, local Sisters in Crime, LA chapter. We were all in this anthology together. So we bonded. I mean, it was just great. We went to all these different bookstores, you know, around Southern California together. And it was just, you know, it was so exciting. And I've never had that since then for a short story. I just thought that was normal. that's not normal at all. But I think once I got that published and things just kind of started falling into place, I got another short story. It placed third in a contest with the Deadly Ink Conference in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And then I formed my writer group. We all met through Sisters in Crime. And I think we started that in 2010, maybe. Oh, and I also got another job. I worked as a bookseller at the Mystery Bookstore in Westwood, near UCLA campus. And that was another whole, I mean, I just was exposed to so many different mystery writers, and
yeah,
that was incredible. So I met so many authors, and I read so many different books and anthologies, and yeah, that opened up a whole other new world in mystery writing.
Would you say with short stories, I don't know that this happens as much, but is there a genre you write in more than, you know, do you write noir or fictional, or, you know, how would you talk about your short stories, or does it depend on the anthology or the call, or, you know?
Yeah, I think I write more, I guess you'd say noir. They're usually darker. And the characters are usually, I think they're just kind of regular people, but they end up making just really poor choices and bad decisions. And things usually get worse for them. Sometimes they get better, but I guess I would say I write darker, more noir. I don't think I could write something with like a lot of, like a puzzle you need to figure out. I'm horrible at writing something like that. I've tried, and I really admire writers who can, you know, write the traditional mystery or, you know, the puzzle you have to figure out. And I just get my brain just gets all tied up in knots.
Well, you know, I had a friend who used to say, this is why they make different color refrigerators. If we all liked the same thing or did the same thing, everyone would have the same color refrigerator. So I think, you know, there are folks who can't write dark or can't write noir. So, you know, I think you get called in a direction. But you also have written children's chapter book. Tell me about that journey. Tell me about that experience.
I didn't have any intention whatsoever of writing a children's book at all. It just kind of, I don't even know how. One of my publishers for a short story I'd written, she was putting out a call for middle grade mystery short stories. And I thought, oh, that'd be fun to write kind of a middle grade kids mystery. You know, I've never really thought about writing any kids stuff, but I just thought it'd be a fun challenge. So I wrote this short story, and I can't even remember really, I mean, because it completely changed once it became a book, but it started off with a girl, and it had a lot of food in it, and I can't remember the initial idea. But anyway, I sent it to her, and then she came back saying it felt younger than middle grade. It was almost, you know, more like early reader, like 6 to 9 year old kids. Mm-hmm. And then she said, you know, I like where you're going with this. I like the idea. Why don't you turn this into a chapter book? And I didn't even know what that was. I thought a chapter. And then, so I was saying, oh, that's like, you know, I guess that'd be like Magic Treehouse books, mm-hmm. like that kind of thing. So I thought, well, why not? So I started reading all these chapter books just to get a feel for it. And I bought all these like writing for children's like text, you know, just sort of how to manuals. And so I wrote this children's chapter book called Super Beetle, about a young 8-year-old girl who goes to Taiwan for the first time to meet her grandmother. And when she's there, she sees this giant beetle that's like bigger than, you know, if than a person. It's this huge beetle, but no one else can see the beetle, only her.
No.
And so she goes on to this adventure with this beetle. And so she ended up publishing it. It's no longer actually, it's Elm Books, but they actually went under. But she was trying to branch. She published mostly short story mystery anthologies, and then she was trying to branch out to do a children's imprint. And I was the only book that she put out with the children's imprint, and that came out in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I thought I would never have a kid's book, but there it is. And so now actually she reverted all the rights back to me. She closed, you know, she shut down. And so now I have the rights. And so now I'm going to publish it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in the process of doing that. I got, and you know, she had the illustrator. So there's little illustrations of the beetle. And she's a really amazing artist. So I got the rights to the artwork. And so now I'm in the process of trying to figure out how to self-publish it.
And I love this journey, this story for so many reasons. I think that, you know, opportunities coming up and taking them, saying, okay, let's fine, sure, let me try and write this chapter book. And then, of course, publishers going out of business and rights happily getting reverted, because that doesn't always happen easily. But, you know, that's also part of this, the publishing part. I mean, the writing part is what under our control, the publishing part's under its business, and that's a completely different thing. Do you think you'd write other children's fiction?
I would like to. I still would love to do like a middle grade mystery. Mm-hmm. The book I'm writing right now is YA. It's a YA thriller. I was asked, you know, would you do a sequel to Super Beetle? I don't know if I would write another children's chapter book, but you never know. Because I never thought I would write this one. So it's a lot of fun. I love going to the elementary schools and doing presentations and getting kids excited about books. I mean, that's so much fun. I could see myself writing more kids books for sure.
And you mentioned that you're writing a YA thriller. YA is such an interesting genre right now, because all different mashups of different types of books. And there's, to me, it feels like there's a freedom of world building and creation that exists in that realm. But I don't know it well enough. Tell me about the writing in YA.
Yeah, it's well, it's funny because when I was writing it, and I thought it was adult. I mean, it kind of fell in this gray area of YA and adult. So they say new adult really isn't a thing. But it felt like I just wanted to call it new adult, but instead I thought it was adult, but then I was getting feedback and they're like, no, she's definitely, you know, she's a teenager and it's very YA. So I just immersed myself in all things YA. And yeah, there's such a range, you know, there's
such a range,
younger YA and then older YA, there's college YA.
Yeah.
The themes can be really dark.
Really dark.
Yeah. And I thought, oh, this is too dark for YA, but you know, the feedback I was getting is no, it's YA can be very dark and they tackle a lot of heavy subjects. But I'm not writing like a fantasy or, cause I know that's huge and YA is fantasy, but that to me is just, that's overwhelmingly difficult, to establish a whole world. I'm impressed by people who can do that. So yeah, it's definitely different territory than writing just an adult. Not that I haven't even finished a full-length adult mystery novel. So this is my first attempt at a full-length novel, and it's YA.
Well, so I love the novella length. I love reading it. I love listening to it. I love, I find it to be satisfying in a way, because it is deep enough and enough complexity in the story that you get immersed, but it also is within a day or two, you're going to be done. You know what I mean? It's a really terrific length that I think some writers are just leaning towards. You know, I have a friend who's multi-published, but she loves novella length. She's like, I have to pad so much to write a novel. I love the 30 to 40,000 word length. So talk to me about your novella.
So that, that is another one. I never intended to write really a novella. It actually was a short story I had written that I couldn't place anywhere. And then this new publisher was this kind of fledgling press, small press, and it was digital only. They were called, God, I can't remember the name of what they, but anyway, the guy that was starting it, he was going to all the crime conventions, you know, BoucherCon, Lefkos Crime, and talking up his new press. and signing them, all these authors, Stark Raving Press, that was it. And, you know, he wanted novellas. He wanted crime fiction novellas. And everyone I knew was writing a novella for him. And I thought, you know, I really love this short story of mine that didn't go anywhere. Maybe I can expand it to a novella. You know, how hard can that be? But I think I spent like 2 years working on that. And I've realized I'm a very, very slow writer as well. I just need to accept that about myself. I can't juggle multiple projects at the same time. I'm very like one thing at a time. And I fought that for years. And then finally I'm like, okay, this is just how I write. Yeah. This is my process. I got to accept it. So I spent 2 years working on it. And then by the time, of course, when I was done, that press went under. So I thought, okay, now I've got this novella. But luckily another small press that had published one of my short stories, I sent it to them and they loved it. So they published Cleaning Up Finn, All Due Respect Books. And so, yeah, that was like my first kind of, that came out 2016. So that was my first book, you know, with just my name on the cover. And so that was so exciting. I based the story on my experience work. It was another job. I worked in the restaurant industry for a long time. So I wrote about this sleazy restaurant manager. And he ends up going out with this girl and then he literally loses her. Like she disappears. And, he lies about being with her and his lies just kind of snowball out of control. Oh. And he just digs himself into this hole. But yeah, it ended up, you know, at first I thought I wrote this for nothing, you know, but then, so there's always these downs in publishing where I thought, oh, I spent all this time working on this and now there's nowhere to send it. But then, or, you know, nobody wants it, but then, you know, All Due Respect said, oh no, we'd love to publish it. So you never know what's going to happen.
You do never know. So let's talk about process a little bit. You mentioned that you're a slow writer, that you write one thing at a time, you know, that's, so do you tell me about how you get an idea and what you do with that idea? How do you nurture an idea so it becomes whatever it's?
Yeah, I just kind of write down anywhere I can find paper. Like if something comes to me, I'll just write it down. Either I'll use the notes app on my phone or I'll just write it in like a piece of paper I have somewhere. And then when I can, I'll go open a new Word doc and just sort of jot down kind of new ideas. And then when I'm, you know, I finish a short story or I'm sort of, you know, in between projects, then I think, okay, maybe I'll start an idea and I'll look through and figure out, okay, what's really speaking to me. And I mean, I'm kind of doing that right now, actually, because I just finished my YA thriller and I'm waiting on feedback and I'm hoping to query it later this year. So I'm kind of in this limbo. Mm-hmm. Should I write a short story? But I thought, you know, now's a good time to write book two. And so I kind of want to build on that momentum of, you know, okay, I finished a book. Now let's start book two. So now I'm kind of going through my different, I looked at the document I have with all the different ideas and there's like a dozen of them. So now I'm trying to figure out which one I like or which one speaks to me. So I kind of am tinkering with like, okay, what is the, you know, what does my main character look like or what does she want? And who's the, you know, who's the antagonist and where is this going? What's the tone? And I'll start to sort of kind of do like a 3-paragraph summary. And I'm kind of like, well, if I don't like that, then I'll try another idea. And I'm sort of in the process where I'm kind of narrowing it down. And I'm also using books I just bought this book from Matt Bell. What's the book? Write and Rewrite Your Novel in 3 Drafts or something.
Yes.
And he tells you kind of, it's most of the book is talking about writing the first draft, and it just kind of gives you ideas of like how to begin. So I've been using that to kind of get me kickstarted on what I'm excited about. And then I'm also using Save the Cat. And she's suggesting to, you know, start off with just a log line and see if you can get your story idea in just that log line. And then expand your log line into like 3 sentences, expand the 3 sentences into 3 paragraphs. And if you see a book out of that, then, you know, maybe you have something. So that's kind of what I've been doing.
I'll put both those books in the show notes. Matt Bell's book is actually, I have it. I haven't read it yet, but Refuse to Be Done, How to Write and Rewrite a Novel in 3 Drafts.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. So craft, you know, so as you're looking at this idea, you know, your folder of ideas, and you're sort of noodling and thinking about which one, do you say to yourself, because I'm fascinated by all the different ways you've written. You know, I think it's really interesting. Novellas, short stories, YA, middle grade. Noir? I mean, all there's a lot here, Sarah. So do you say to yourself as you're reading this, and you said that you'd like to write another novel, do you say, this is a short story idea, so I'm not going to think about this right now. I want something that, you know, do you think I want to write a YA, or are you sort of now thinking, okay, let me see what else, let me see if I can write, I don't know, a suspense novel or domestic suspense, or, you know, as you're looking at these ideas, are you also driven to the form and thinking about the form so that you can best use that idea?
I guess I'm more thinking, okay, I know I want to write a novel and I'm not writing a short story right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll just then look at the ideas and pick what I really want to spend, you know, a couple years writing.
Right.
And in fact, I thought I had decided on what my next book would be. And I had it all kind of, I don't know, I'd written maybe, I don't know, a page sort of summary of where I saw the book going. It was kind of a father-daughter road trip. And it was not, I didn't think it was crime fiction because I couldn't figure out where a dead body would go. So I thought, well, is this, I'm not even sure this would be mystery. And then I thought, well, maybe that's okay. And then I thought, well, you know, I could try sort of expanding more on this. But then as I spent more time on that, I started wandering to the other ideas on my document. And I thought, this is telling me something. Like I'm already getting distracted with other ideas. And so now I'm looking at kind of, it's more like now this one's another YA thriller, and it's kind of a campy, over the top sort of Squid Games meets The Bachelor. And I thought, this is so ridiculous. But I'm kind of having fun with it. I've written maybe 3 paragraphs, and I thought, okay, this I could spend some time with, and I could see it as a book. And, I guess in my head, I already know this is going to be a book. And then when I'm going to write a short story, I usually will have a theme to start with, and then I'll just kind of try to figure out, I'll have sort of several ideas of a story to meet the theme, and then kind of just, yeah, I guess I kind of write out sort of free writing each idea until I decide one way or the other, like, okay, this isn't working, or, you know, I don't like this idea. Or if I can sense myself not wanting to spend time, you know, working on it, then I know, like, well, I must not like this as much as I thought.
Yeah. Or sometimes in doing this podcast, I talk to so many people and they talk about ideas that I can't figure out how to write this story yet. Like, I love this idea, but I can't figure out how to write this story. You know, and whether it's you're going to use multiple points of view or you don't know the best way. So you sort of keep it in your imagination, but, you know, then go write something that's like, okay, I know how to tell this story, because that's part of it for a writer is figuring out how am I going to tell. You can have an idea, but it's how am I going to tell this story is so much of the work. You know, what's the point of view and what form and all of that, which is fun, but that's also a lot of work.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of how I feel about this father-daughter.
Yeah.
One. I really feel strongly about it, but I'm not, maybe it's just not the right time for me to write it. I haven't quite figured out how I'm going to tell it, maybe.
Yeah. Or maybe it's a screenplay, or maybe it's a, you know, I don't know. It can be anything. It's such an interesting thing. So do you plot? Do you pants? How do you write?
I'm kind of, I guess, both. I mean, I think I'm more a pantser. I do have, yeah, I keep trying to do, you know, outlines, but I tend to, I mean, I've only written one full length book. But I think with short stories, I don't outline, or I guess I do the same process with short stories, novellas, and this book. I kind of write out sort of key scenes that I see in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting from those main scenes, I just have no idea what's going to happen. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to be more of a plotter, which is why I got this Save the Cat Writes a Young Adult novel.
Huh?
And so they talk about the 15 beats of a story.
Yes.
So I'm trying to, okay, I'm just going to at least get these 15 beats. If I have those, then maybe I can figure out, you know, how to get there. Or even, she says, even if you only have these 5 main beats, you know, that's something. So I think I just work with, and I'm very visual. I don't know if it's because of the Hollywood background or screenwriting. I can usually will visualize certain scenes. Mm-hmm. And so I'll write those out. But I'm also a very linear writer. So it's really hard for me, because I know when some people, when they get writer's block, they tell, oh, just jump ahead, you know, to the scene that you see in your head. And I have such a hard time doing that, because I'm so linear, and I have to go one thing at a time. And, you know, so it's really hard for me. I think when I'm first starting out, it's okay. Like, I'm like, okay, I have these scenes in my head, and then I write them out. But then I have to go back to the beginning and work my way up.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't jump ahead. It's like, it's so hard, because I keep thinking, well, what I'm writing is going to change. You know, I may not even ever get to that, or that scene will never even happen. I think it's why I am such a slow writer too, is if I'm stuck in a scene, then I will just kind of bang my head on the wall for weeks, like just, you know, trying to figure out how to get out of this. When instead maybe I should just jump ahead and write the scene that I can visualize. But I have to do one, you know, just keep going forward in my little chronological timeline that I have in my head.
Well, and as we talk about a lot on this podcast, there's no one way to write. And I think that linear writing is a lot of people have that. I mean, the jumping ahead or doing things, it's not everyone can do that. I am putting both of the books that you've mentioned in the show notes. The Save the Cat model and those 15 beats are really interesting, because you probably have done them already, or most of them, but it's thinking about it and using those as guideposts is an interesting way to sort of Phyllis Whitney said, a map is not a journey. So, you know, you know where you're going to go. You've got those signposts on your map, but how you get there is up to you. And I think that that's sort of a nice in between. Do you find that true, that, you know, reading things like, you know, Save the Cat Writes a Young Adults is, and about those beats kind of makes you say, oh, okay, I don't have to figure it out, but I know that I need to have the hero accept the challenge. And so how am I going to do that and figure that out?
Yeah, I really, I love books on structure. I mean, I think back to my Hollywood screenwriting days, my Bible was, the hero, was it The Hero's Journey, by Joseph Campbell. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of the similar, structure with Save the Cat. There were certain beats, and different characters, like the shapeshifter character. And I had that thing like right by my side while I was writing a screenplay. So I really love these books on structure, but whether or not I actually really follow them, I think it helps to, it's sort of like a safety net, I think, to know that it's there. And I think it helps me get started. Mm-hmm. And then I think once I'm sort of in immersed in what I'm writing, then I kind of put it aside. But I think it's sort of a nice crutch to know that, you know, if I'm stuck, I can look at it and think, okay, you know, I need to put in the all is lost moment, or the catalyst is in the wrong place. Or, you know, what I like about Saves the Cat is there's like this kind of timeline, and she even has like a percentage, like, okay, the catalyst happens, you know, 20% into the book. Yeah. So I like that. It's very methodical. But yeah, I don't know if I do follow it exactly, but I think it's comforting.
Yeah. Well, yes. And again, there's no one way to do any of this, but continuing to hone your craft and figure things out is part of what can help you as a writer get out of those, I'm stuck in a corner, I don't know what to do with these characters moments.
Yes.
You've also edited anthologies. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, that I kind of fell into as well. I never thought, okay, I'm going to be an editor. I got invited to contribute to this novel in stories. Ed Amar, he invited me to join their group. They were writing Night of the Flood, and there was maybe, I don't know, 12 other writers, and it had a whole concept of this dam is blown up and the town below is flooded. And so everyone writes a story about kind of the aftermath of people in the town below dealing with the flood. Like people end up, you know, there's crime involved, or there's people that go loot other stores, or, you know, it's just chaos ensues. So I agreed to write a story. And then he said, okay, Ed said, you know, we had no editor basically. So Ed said, okay, I'll edit, you know, but I need a co-editor. And then everyone else had busy lives, you know, like they had kids, they had full-time jobs, or they had a deadline. And I was the only one that was like, well, I've got nothing going on, so I'll be an editor too. So I did. So I co-edited it with Ed, and it's turned out to be really fun. I really enjoyed it. And then we did another novel and stories, the same group of us, a couple years later. And again, Ed and I co-edited. And then, yeah, Sisters in Crime LA chapter, they asked me to be an editor for their anthology. So it just, yeah, once again, it was just not something I ever thought about doing. It just kind of happened.
Yeah. I love that idea of a novel in stories.
Yeah.
Was that fun to read all of these writers' takes on this same situation? That must have been a fun project to work on, but to edit must have been a little challenging too, because what goes where and do we want this in there and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was definitely something I've never done before, because each writer had an hour of that night. So the dam was blown up at, like, I think it was 6 o'clock at night. And so then each writer would choose, you know, I'm going to write 7 o'clock. I'm writing 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I think I had 3 a.m. And so you had to sort of, and then other story, like some writers would borrow a character, you know, that was in one of another story, but it had to be cohesive, you know, like if that character was dead at midnight, they couldn't show up again at 4 a.m. So yeah, it was definitely difficult, but it was just a lot of fun. And then things like the moon, you know, someone had the moon as a full moon, someone else had it as like a sliver. So we had to, you know, make sure that the weather was consistent and, you know, things like that. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. and I'd never done anything like that before.
That's great. That's great. So do you write every day? Tell me about your writing process.
Yeah, I try to write every day. I write in the morning. I'm a morning writer. I usually write between 7 and noon with intermittent breaks. I have a writing sprint partner with Naomi Hirahara. Oh. So we meet on Discord every morning at 8, and we do little 25-minute sprints. Sometimes we'll do it with Sisters in Crime with the write-ins at 8 a.m. Yeah. So I do love the accountability, and I try to go to as many write-ins as I can with Sisters in Crime. But I love that 25-minute sprint and then take a break and then do another 25 minutes. That really motivates me, and it's not overwhelming. And I also try to have little goals each day. Like, I don't do word count, but I'll do, you know, I'm just going to write one scene, or, yeah, you know, I want to finish this chapter, or, it could be something like, I just want to try to brainstorm my way out of this hole that I've found myself in, you know, something. So I try every day to do something like that. And it's, you know, writing related. In the afternoon is when I'm kind of, my brain sort of shuts off, and I'll try to do more, you know, businessy things, like maybe update my website, or I do also have a job. I still work for this insurance adjuster, so I may have to go into work in the afternoon. So my writing time is in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I also think just thinking about the story is also, yeah, you know, writing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And letting yourself really immerse yourself in the idea and what's, you know, as you said, when you're choosing an idea and you want to write this novel and something gets exciting, at some point it's going to be not exciting. You know, 6 months from now, you're going to be writing this thinking, what was I doing? But that's when you have to keep going. You just have to get that draft done and finish. Do you have those moments of the dark questioning your choices of what am I doing here? Or do you, once you commit, are you a happy writer who just keeps going?
Oh no, I have so many dark moments where I'm like, what am I thinking? So many, especially with the YA book I finished. I mean, I'm still thinking that, like, does anybody care? Or, you know, I'm at the point now where I'm like, maybe this is my, you know, throw it in the closet draft and it's just going to never see the light of day. I'm like, I don't know, but, you know, I'm still going to work and edit it and query it, but I'm still questioning, like, what am I doing? Yeah. It happens all the time.
Which I think is heartening to people. You know, you've been multi-published, you've been doing, you know, you write in all these different forms and you still have those moments where, okay, what am I doing? You also strike me as somebody who's pushing herself to try something new, or you're not laying back and saying, okay, I did this well, so I'm going to do the same thing again. You instead keep adding challenges to your life. Do you agree with that assessment?
I think for the most part, yeah. I think in the very beginning, when I was just starting writing, I said yes to everything. And I think that really helped me. And I felt like the more I dug in my heels about, like, I can't do this, I'm not writing this, then I'm like, okay, that means I have to say yes.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, early on, I was just saying yes to everything. And I'm glad I did that. And, you know, I think now I'm being a little more choosy. Just, you know, 'cause I know I can't write a short story and work on my book at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was also saying a lot of yeses to writing short stories, 'cause it was like an excuse to not work on the book.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's okay to set the book aside and work on a short story.
Especially if you're, you know, an anthology or somebody says, would you please, you know, add to this? But and some people can work on multiple projects at the same time, but, you know, you can't. So
yeah,
I think that's an important thing to know. Yeah. It's an important thing to know about. Do you write in Word? Or do you write Scrivener, or I'm just fascinated by how people write.
Yeah, I write in Word. I keep thinking I'm going to try Scrivener, but I just haven't yet. I don't know if I'd get overwhelmed by it. I know some people who swear by it. But I'm strictly Word.
Wrestling with Word.
Yes. I feel like one of these days I want to be the type of person who has note cards and a huge bulletin board and, you know, places the cards on the bulletin board, because I'm definitely visual.
But you don't do that.
I haven't done it. I just know that I want to, but I have not done it yet, but I feel like I need to do that, but I don't. Yeah. I just haven't done it.
Did you find that reading so many scripts, I can only imagine you get used to this works, this doesn't, this is that, and then writing your own screenplay. Did that format and that structure, has that helped you as a prose writer to sort of think about beats and think about, you know, acts and all that and dramatic structure?
Yeah, I think it did help. And I think it helped also with just, I think it helped a lot with short story writing. That's probably why I really gravitated toward short story writing, because screenplays, you know, it gets to the heart of the story like immediately. And it's very, you know, it's not wordy. Mm-hmm. It just, you got to get sucked in immediately. And then, you know, you've only got 90 pages or whatever, 120 pages to in a screenplay to tell your story. So I think of it, like I think of story, you know, in those certain beats, acts, you know, three acts. So I was trained that way. So I think that's probably why with short stories that it's very similar in my head. So, yeah, I guess, you know, it did help to guide me into writing short stories.
So it's all in your note cards and your sticky notes on the wall are all in your head. You're not one of these people who has to write them down and put them up on the wall. It's like, no, they're all in my head.
No, I need them on the wall. I think that'll help me. Then I can write a book. That's what I'm thinking. That's all that's stopping me.
Couple of packs of sticky notes and you got a bestseller.
Yes, it's just, that's all I have to do.
So you're working on, you're editing, you're writing a new novel, and any other projects in 2024 you're looking forward to?
I have one short story coming out, in the, I think the end of October, or yeah, end of, it's sometime October, 2024, that I was invited to contribute to. So yeah, I'm hoping to get an agent this year. I'm going to start querying, try to make some good headway into the new book, try to figure out how to self-publish my children's book. And yeah, maybe write, you know, another short story or two. So yeah, I just, that's kind of my goals for 2024.
Well, they sound like good goals, you know. write a short story or two is enough for some people for the whole thing. Good luck with the self-publishing. The indie publishing journey is such an interesting journey, and Sisters in Crime is going to be offering some webinars and panels this year about indie publishing. Because it's such a viable option, and for people who get rights reverted or who just make a decision, this is what I want to do. And so we're working on some webinars around that, because it's
great,
you know, an interesting journey. Yeah.
Yeah. I will definitely watch those. I need all the help I can get.
Well, cause you want your book to get back out there, and, you know, but with illustrations and things, that's, I mean, I'm sure in vellum it can all work, but it's you know, that's a lot. So
yeah,
I wish you luck with that.
Thank you.
thank you for a great conversation and for being so open about your journey and, you know, how you're sort of tackling all of this.
Oh, well, thank you. This was a lot of fun. I had a good time.
And I'll see you at our write-in.
Yes, I will be there.
Thank you for being with us today. Sisters in Crime is about community. We were founded to advocate for women crime writers, and we continue that mission by fighting for equity in the crime writing community. Sisters in Crime is an international, inclusive organization for all who write and love crime fiction, mystery, thrillers, and suspense. Join us at sistersincrime.org and make sure you subscribe to this podcast.